Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you again this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. I am just filled up, y'all. Filled up. This morning on a Bible study that I do, that I listen to, a part called Morning Glory Nation. Shout out to Pastor Fred. Whew, he preached this morning on Joshua faith. And, you know, I just can't say it enough. As y'all all know, you've been with me long enough to know that I love the book of Joshua. That's my favorite book in the Bible because it's faith. It's a faith book. That God will take you into your promised land. And that once you get there, he will fight your battles. With today, on Morning Glory Nation, we were seeing Joshua chapter 10. Well, we know that Joshua was in a battle. You know, he was having a time with the Amorites. You know, and I'm going to tell you, it's like the sun stood still. But again, we all know that the sun does not move. We move around the sun. But in that day, they thought the sun stood still. But we know that the earth stood still. And when we talk about faith, he had that faith when he said in the word, and I just want to share this with you. And on that day, Joshua 10:12, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel. Sun stand still over Gibeon and moon over the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on Israel. And that is something that you can't say but Joshua faith. We got to ask God for the things that we need. We got to know that we got to have faith. And as we go through the one in this book, in this chapter of Genesis, all I could think about when I read it was father like son. Like father like son. Isaac just fell into some of the same habits as his dad. You know, same situation, son having issues. You know, because we know Isaac and Ishmael came together at his dad's death, but you can have and bring in confusion. Isaac keeps doing his dad's what his dad did. But the one thing Isaac had and that his dad had was faith. Faith in God, and God answered all their prayers. God was with them through the good, God was with them through the bad, and God was with them through the ugly. Just as he is with us. And all we have to do is believe that all things will work out for our good when we trust in the Lord, and that it will be according to his purpose. But we got to trust. The main thing is trust. We got to have Joshua faith that the earth will stand still as God fights our battles. God goes before us, and God is behind us, and he is with us. All we have to do is ask. Father God in heaven, we thank you for fighting our battles. Father God, we come to you this morning with Joshua faith that whatever the situations in our lives are, Lord, we have Joshua faith that you can handle those situations. If you can make the earth stand still, then Lord God, we know you can handle every situation we may have. You can handle health. You can handle wealth. You can handle family. You can handle whatever the situation, work, whatever it is. You can handle it. All we have to have is faith that it will be, as you said. Lord God, I thank you. The word every day to hear from you every day, Lord God. For your word is biblical instruction before reading it, but we know that this is not our final destiny. Hallelujah. Father God, we know that if we do what we're supposed to do and live right and have Joshua faith, have faith of that mustard seed, that you, oh God, and that we know and believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for the blood that covers me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. You have never left me or forsaken me. Hallelujah, Lord God, I shall not walk, because I know that you walk beside me, that you are the author and the finisher of my faith. You are the one that I will see when my time comes. Father God, I ask you to watch over all of your children, God. Keep them covered under the blood. There are no weapons and no nasty tongues that have wagged. They will cease, Father God. But we are your children, and you are our Father. And we want to be like Father, like Son. We want to be like our Daddy, God. We want to know that we walk in faith and not in peace. That we walk in hope and the future. And that we know that one day we will see our Father face to face. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have made. Lord, we are rejoicing. We are being grateful. Thankful and blessed to know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that you, Lord God, know everything. You know it already. You know our future. You know our past, and you know our today. And Lord God, we ask you to please increase as we decrease, as this word goes forth, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to look in my heart and let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You are my strength. You are my redeemer. I can't do this without you, Lord, and I ask you to give me discernment and understanding of the word, that as I speak it, I speak with boldness. And as I study it with understanding. And I lift up today, oh God, all the sick and the struggling, all those, oh God, that need more time with you. I lift them up, Lord God, and I thank you for the Abraham blessings. I thank you for increase. I thank you for jobs. I thank you for health. I thank you for all the things that you are doing, Lord God. And I thank you for the cure for this horrible virus that is running rampant. And Lord, I ask you to give your children the silence and understanding that nothing is impossible for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got filled up. We got to have boldness in our words, boldness in our prayers, boldness to know that we serve a wonderful and mighty God, who will never leave us or forsake us, who will be with us today, tomorrow, and every day up until the end of days. And into eternal life, he will be with us. Because the word tells us that absent from this earthly, this body is in the presence of the Lord. So we know that one day we will see God's face. One day we will sit at the feet of the Lord. One day we will have our white robe. Hallelujah. One day when it's our time. Don't rush God. Don't rush God. Know that he is in charge of it. We are finishing up Abraham's journey. Whew. Abraham lived a good life. And he had sons and daughters. But we know that the child of promise was Isaac. And we know that Isaac is by far the life son. And as we go through our word this morning, we're going to see it more than you can imagine. Father is the same stuff. But still, God bless. Let's get into the word. And it says this in Genesis chapter 25. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Shemah, Jokshan, Medan, Madian, Ishbak, Shua. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asher, Leshem, and Lahmim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Enoch, Abadah, Eldah, all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent eastward and away from Isaac his son to the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. How long did Abraham live? 175 years. Getting ready for that Bible trivia. I love Bible trivia. I even bought a book on Bible trivia because I like it like that. 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people and his sons Isaac and Ishmael, which is before men, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zoor, the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of there Abraham was buried and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer-Lehi-Lehi-Lehi. Now this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajot, Kedar, Abel, Mithram, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadar, Huma, Utar, Nephesh, Kedemah. These were the sons of Ishmael. These were the names by their towns and their settlements. 12 princes, according to their nations. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137. And he breathed his last and died and was gathered. They dwelt in Havilah, as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brothers. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan, Ammon, the sister of Laban, and Syrian, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived, but the children struggled together with him. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the other shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled, for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, it was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Came out and his hand took hold of it, of Esau's hair. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when he bore him. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter. a man of the field, but Jacob was a mountain dwelling in fear. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his chamber of respect and loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked the stew and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same in his stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, tell me your birthright as of this. Now, okay, come on now. Let's go back. He was cunning. He was a mild man. No, he was a cunning man. He was mild and cunning and understood the importance of a birthright, understood the importance of a birthright. He wasn't so mild that he didn't have a cunning. And he goes on to tell us, and Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentil. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Continuing this word, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gibeah. We're going to go back a little while here. Let me get my word. Just a moment now. I had it all out and now I'm going in a different place here. But we're going to go back to Abraham. Abraham does the same thing as his son. You know, sometimes you think that if I say this, I'll be fine. Now we're going to go back. We are in Genesis chapter 26. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 20. And it goes on to say, from there Abraham traveled to the region of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he was staying in there, Abraham said to his wife Sarah, she is my sister, so King Abimelech of Gerar has Sarah brought to him. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, you are about to die because of the woman you have taken. But she is a married woman, not Abimelech, had not approached her. So he said, Lord, would you destroy a nation, even though it is innocent? Then he himself said to me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. I did this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you did this with a clear conscience. I have also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I have not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, you and all who are yours. Early in the morning, Abimelech got up, called all his servants together, and personally told them all these things, and the men were terrified. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said to him, what have you done to us? That what did I sin against you that you have brought such enormous? On me and on my kingdom. You have done things to me that should never be done. Abimelech asked Abraham, what makes you think? Abraham replied, I thought there is absolutely no fear of God in this place because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So when God had me wander from my father's house, I said to her, show your glory to me wherever we go and tell you about me, my brother. And Abimelech took flocks and herds and male and female slaves, gave them to Abraham and returned his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, look, my land is before you. Settle wherever you want. And he said to Sarah, look, I am giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a verification of your honor to all who are with you. you are fully vindicated. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so that they could bear children. For the Lord had completely closed all the wounds in Abimelech's elbow on account of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Okay, that is chapter 20 of Genesis. Now let's go in chapter 26, like father, like son. And this is what it says. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gibeah. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for you and your descendants. I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gibeah. And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because he thought, let the men of the place kill me for Rebekah to behold. My father, like son. Let me say it, my father, like son. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, instead of Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what? You would have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on her. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sold in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herd and a great number of sons. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from there and dwelt in the valley of Seir, and dwelt there. And Isaac dug in the well of the water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gibeah quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is out. So he called the name of the well Issachar, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rahabah, because he said, for now the Lord is made. Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him that the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you, like father, like son. God was with Abraham. And God was with Isaac. Even though they both made the same mistake, the difference is that Abraham did not lie. Sarah was his sister, whereas Isaac did lie. He did not tell the truth. Rebekah was his cousin, but she was not his sister. But he continued, and God blessed him. And God blessed his progeny. But let's keep it moving so we got this story straight. Because we understand that some folks don't realize how blessed they are. Blessed they are. And he goes on to say, I will bless you and multiply your descendants for me, servants, for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And then Isaac's servant dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from there with Ahaziah, one of his friends, and Zechor, the of the call, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, why have you come to me, you hate me, and have sent me away from you? But they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass that the same day that Isaac served and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, we have found water. So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beerus the Hittite, and Basmah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a Greek of mine to Isaac and Rebekah. When Esau, remember, what did Abraham say? That he did not want his son to marry a Hittite. Jacob has not married yet. Esau goes off and buries a Hittite. And it says they were grieved to Isaac and Rebekah because they knew that the father, Abraham, did not want them to marry Hagar. But he did it anyway because he just did not have some sense. Esau was something else. Gave up his birthright and about to lose something else, but we'll get to that as we go forward. But understand, Jacob did what he was told. Now, understand he's going to go and try to find the right wife because he knows that he has to find someone from his father's family. So he's gonna go and do what he's told to do. But understand, odd mess. Father like son. Isaac like his daddy. Abraham. And Jacob's gonna be like his daddy Isaac. And we're gonna just keep it moving because there's some father like son stuff going on through this word. But understand one thing about these, all know that everything they need, God will provide. The one thing we must always be and understand is that our Father knows exactly what we need and when we need it. He will protect us even in our bad. That's my sister. No, it's not. That's your wife. But God protected him anyway. Understand, even in the good, even in the bad, even in the downright ugly, he still is there with you, always. He already told us, even to the end of the day, I will be with you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. God has told us that. And we have to stand on the word of God. Our psalm for this morning, Psalm 7, verses 6 through 8. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemy. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sake, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my right and according to my integrity with you. Don't judge me on anybody else's assumptions of the Lord. judge me on me. That's what David was saying. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Not on what he said, she said, woo-woo said, but on me. Judge me, O Lord, on me, on my righteousness and on my integrity. And that's all we can ask God to do, to judge us on what we do. God wants us to have the best life. We got to ask God to be there with us. Keep your prayer life open. Pray and pray some more. Ask God to be in charge. You got to have your Joshua faith. And know that God's got you covered. From the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet, you are covered. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You got to pay your tithe and give your offering. You got to give God what belongs to God. You know, you hear so many times, well, I ain't giving no money except for the pastor to buy a new house and a new car and this and that. Excuse me. You're not paying for the pastor to do anything. What you're doing is taking care of the house of God. And yes, you are to give your pastor a salary. Nobody works for free. And why are you complaining? God blesses you. God gives you what you need to make sure that your gas and your heat is on. To make sure your lights and your water are on. To make sure that you got the payments for your vehicles and whatever you need. The house of God has water. The house of God has lights. The house of God has heat and air in the summer. The house of God has to function. You don't want to go in the wintertime into a cold, dark. You don't want to go in the summertime to a hot, dark church, do you? So you have to pay your tithes and your first fruits to give to God through tithes and offerings. But you need to give. God blesses you. You got to bless the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, God does watch over you. You might go through some hard financial times, but even through your financial hard times, you still give what you give to God. And yeah, it might mess you up sometimes. That eventually everything will iron out. Everything will get better. When you continue giving, when you continue doing what you're supposed to do and give to God. What does it say? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Give to the Lord. What is due God? Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 38. We read these on yesterday, but we're going to read them again because it was just that good. And it says this, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Yes, Joshua, thank God. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well, and the woman was made well from that hour. Like father, like son. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. And he said to them, make room for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Again, Joshua faith in Jesus. Father like son like father like son. And when he had come into the house of blind men came, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows it, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him and all that community. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled at him. It was never ceased that he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. There's always, whenever you do what you do for God, a negative person, negative people want to get all up in your grill, want to say, well, I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they got that. Well, I don't know. Always talking about the Lord, but I don't know. No, you do know. And they knew that he was the Son of God because they had studied the word. They knew Isaiah. They knew the word of God, and they knew who he was. But understand, power corrupts. And it was a power thing with the Pharisees, all about the money. It was all about how can we stay in power. Understand, it's easy to vilify and to talk about and to build up. They wanted to tear Jesus down because they knew who he was. They were not dumb. They were not stupid. And they knew the word. Pharisees were the study. In other words, they were your doctor this and PhD that and theologian this and theologian that. They were the heads of everything. They knew it all. They was the one that ran the house. They was your pastor, your head this and your senior that and your reverend this and your doctor that and your bishop and all of that. That was them Pharisees. But they want to try to say he was working in the devil. No, the devil don't try to heal. The devil don't try to build up. The devil destroys. Understand. Then Jesus went into, you know, just in this, in Matthew. Matthew don't get in, into the nitty-gritty. But as we go forth, the nitty-gritty will be got into as we go through the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, this is not going to stand because Jesus is going to let them know. How divided against death will not stand. So he knows, and let me tell you, I can't be but the devil. And I'm paraphrasing. Because, again, that house that's divided cannot stand. He was for the Lord, and he did what he was supposed to do as the Son of God, like Father, like Son. He was going through healing and teaching and making whole those that were broken. The woman with the issue of blood, you think about it, 12 years. Not being able to go out in public because you're unclean. And to say, I'm taking my life in my hands. I'm going to see the face. I'm going. I got to go. I was like that as a little kid. I just knew I had to get to the house of God. And when I got there, everything was going to be all right. I had to go to church with Lil because I knew that if I could go to church with Lil, everything would be all right. But God, everything was all right. I thank God for my parents. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for the village that raised me. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Father, like Son, we have a mighty Savior. And it goes on to say, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send a laborer into his harvest. And I say today, as we go back over some life lessons from today's lesson and our life, some life quests, are you a laborer for the Lord? Are you ready to go out and be a laborer for God? Because he needs us. He needs us today. He needs you to preach the gospel. He needs you to start churches. He needs you to evangelize. He needs you to preach the word. He needs you to save souls for Christ, to introduce the Savior to the many that have never heard of Jesus. He needs us today. He needs us to be like him. He needs some father-like son folks laboring in the harvest. Are you ready to work the work God has called you to work? When we say every day on this vlog, it's time to go to work, it's because we work for God. It's not about us. It's about him and getting out his word every day. And some life lessons from our word this morning. For those that have the life principles, daily Bible, biblical principles for each day of the year, we are on tap on page 49 in our Bible. And the life lesson is from Genesis 25:21. Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. And Dr. Stanley tells us that many key points in Scripture, God grants a childless woman a family, often in response to what? Prayer. Why saddle his people with such a difficult burden? Perhaps because if you've been broken, we all have gone through our brokenness moment, been tore up from the floor, and God has used us for his glory. God will use you broken. God will use you to do what he needs you to do. Preach his word. He needs a lot. Just give a word of encouragement. You never know how far that will go in someone's life. Genesis 25:34, Esau despising his birthright, Esau proved himself profane because he considered filling his empty stomach more important than the spiritual promise of God to Abraham. Lost his way, lost his birthright because he didn't understand its importance. Genesis 25:26-5. Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. God remembered Abraham as one who obeyed him, and therefore Abraham provided his descendants with the greatest possible legacy. We got to do what God says to. No matter how hard the task, it's time to go to work. Genesis 26:28, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. When God blesses his children, sometimes even the ungodly can clearly see it. Like we say all the time, the only Jesus somebody may see is you. Godly way. Are you fussing and cussing and showing out? Are you smoking and drinking and then thinking it's all right because you go to church on Sunday? Are you talking about everybody but never looking at yourself and how you treat others? And then how your mouth may be putting a curse on somebody else? We got to be careful what we say because you may be cursing someone and don't even know it. We got to say, Lord, keep my tongue behind my teeth. If I can't say something nice, Lord, let me keep my mouth there. I had to repent myself because I said something yesterday that I shouldn't have said, and I had to ask God to forgive me because I did. I let my little tongue get the best and say some things that was not right to say. You got to stop yourself. Because I'm not trying to go to hell because of a little tiny membrane behind my teeth. We got to repent when we get out of line. Say, Lord, forgive me and mean it. And don't say it again. Just be quiet. Because people will say things that they don't even realize are hateful and hurtful. And you need to be careful what you say. Lift up and not tear down. Genesis 26:28. We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. And then Dr. Stanley says, when we live in a way that invites the blessings of the Lord, that blessings spill over to our neighbors. Wow. You don't ever know that your blessings can bless everybody that lives around you. And I love this word from our proverb this morning. It's Proverbs 3:5-10. It's a godly compass for your life. It does not make any difference who you are, what you do, where you live, or what your vocation is. This is Dr. Stanley. And he says, this concise, trustworthy compass will help you find God's best for your life. The first point of this spiritual compass is centered upon your trusting God. Proverbs 3:5. Friend, that is the most important key. It is the most important key to finding God's best for you. You must have faith in the Lord God for every area of your life. He is omnipotent, knows all things, omnipotent, all-powerful. And he loves you perfectly, which means that he can and will arrange every circumstance of your life to work out for your best if you will trust him. With all your heart, it all begins with centering your trust in him. The second point of this spiritual compass helps you to understand God's three requirements for you. Proverbs 3:5-7. You are to rely upon God only. You are to respect him as your God. Number three, you are to reject evil and understand. And it goes on to say, the third point of this spiritual compass, everything that God promised you. Proverbs 6:16. Excuse me. God will make your path straight. God will bring health to your body. Thank you. The devil gets mad when you start giving folks points. God will bless you with plenty. Understand, God's got us covered. All we got to do is believe. And the last points for this morning, and this is Matthew 9:24. Make room for the girl is not dead, but sleep. And they ridiculed him because Jesus looked beyond what people could see to what God sees. They ridiculed him. Faith often looks ridiculous to those who don't have it, but God does what no one else can. When he saw that multitude, he was moved with compassion for them. By this point in the story, Jesus and his men were tired, needed a rest. But when Jesus saw the haggard man, he could not help but feel compassion for them, so he continued to minister to them. He is the good shepherd, like Father, like Son. And that is our word for this morning. If there is anyone that would like to speak or God has given you a word, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Or if you are on social media, the number to call is 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. God has given you a word for this morning. If not, this is all we have today, except for we got a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And we always go to our sister in Christ for a word to just make your day. And the word for this morning is this. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Have a thankful Thursday. We started with that and we end with that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. We rejoice in it, and we are glad that you are our Father, and we want to be more like the Father. And as we depart, as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours today and always. people less and know that our Father is with us wherever we go, and that we got to have Joshua faith to know that if God can let make the earth stand still for Joshua, he can move the mountains that are out of our way. He can give us what we need, whatever it may be. Just trust in our Father God. He bless him. It is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. And so do you. Be blessed. It's a wrap, y'all. Have a great day.